Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning to you, just a
good
few minutes
morning.
After 10, and just Dr. Mixon and I today.
Samira is, I think, up in Canada. She's got a niece getting married.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so she's up there for, and as usual, of course, Hindu weddings tend to last a while.
Oh, yes, so. They're a big affair with lots of days. Oh, yes. That's going to be so nice. We'll have to find out more when she gets back.
Yep,
very good. So we will open those phone lines up. If you'd like to get in on the show early, we suggest you call soon and get in the call queue so we don't miss you at the end of the show. 206-421-5757. Dr. Mixon, did you have a Mother's Day celebration last weekend?
Yes, we had a Mother's Day celebration.
My daughter had ordered
some solar-powered fake sunflowers to go in the garden.
Oh, perfect. So, yeah. I'm a mom. I would love those. Yes. You know what they can do with the solar?
Yeah.
I have a little solar fountain that that I put in a bird fountain, and it spews up, so that they can dry, and it's solar-powered, so it goes every day. It's as long as there's water that bird fountain, it makes a nice little spray.
Yeah. And this, we went out the night of Mother's Day, of course, after they had a chance to charge up during the day. And in the night, these glowing sunflowers out in the middle of the garden were actually quite pretty.
Very fun. Very fun. I had the picnic by the water with the kids, and mother-in-law did brunch with her on Sunday. So Mother's Day weekend was wonderful and so beautiful and sunny, too. But, boy, this weekend, a little different today, especially.
Yep.
A little rainy.
It's going to be more of an indoor day.
It is. So, we missed you last week. If you weren't able to call in and you had some questions for Dr. Mixon, then give us a call and get in that queue right now. Here's the number, 206-421-5757. Dr. Mixon, let's get a medical update and find out what is making news. If there is anything that you need to share with us.
Well, I think this is more future-facing than currently useful. But, we've had the Galleri test that has let us screen for 50 different cancers. And that's looking to see if you have an early cancer now so that we can get involved and fix it before it becomes a bigger problem. But this last few days, I've seen some papers coming out of Great Britain where they've now identified umpteen hundred different cancer-related proteins, and what they're saying is that by using AI to evaluate these protein patterns, they can probably predict who's going to get breast or prostate or colon cancers 5 to 7 years before the cancer actually shows up, which would be pretty amazing. I'm not sure how well patients would accept it. If your doctor told you, you don't have a cancer now, but it looks like you're probably going to have a colon cancer 5 years from now, or, we've got proteins in your blood that say you're most likely going to have a breast cancer within the next 7 years. I guess it comes down to then, what do we do about it? You know, are there interventions we can do that are different from what we ought to be doing all the time anyway to minimize our risk of cancers? And would we simply be raising people's anxiety levels without really convincing them to make the lifestyle changes they might need to make to change that long-term prognosis? And I don't know. You know, most of the things that we know we can do to prevent cancers, we already know, and we tell people, and they don't do it. You know, for instance, the number one thing you could probably do in America today to lower your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, strokes, all of the above, is simply to get lean. Being overweight raises the risk of dementia, heart attacks, strokes, osteoporosis, and cancers. And yet we are the fattest country on earth. Everybody knows they should be losing weight, but a frighteningly small fraction of America are actually losing the weight and keeping it off. And that's my biggest single concern, I guess. The other one that we know that will help is simply to get fit. You know, a woman who has a breast cancer, who exercises even as mildly as the government guidelines, that is 150 minutes per week, that is 2.5 hours a week, increases her survival from her breast cancer by 60%.
Wow.
So, and yet the number of people out exercising to prevent cancer is low. And would telling you that you have proteins that are probably going to pop up with a cancer 5 to 6 years from now make you both lose weight and take up an exercise program?
Yes.
It would.
Yes. But for me, I don't think I would fear it. Knowing that information, my mom had breast cancer, my dad had prostate cancer, so it's like I have that in the gene pool.
Yep.
But it's like, whoa, I'm going to get it. Well, let's get down and get something to happen. Yeah.
Well, that's the response I would hope to see.
Yes. And maybe, not living in fear. It's like, oh no, I'm doomed in 5 days. Well, no.
Well,
let's do something.
Not a matter of fear. I think too many Americans simply live in denial. You know, oh yes, the doctor tells me that I need to lose weight and exercise and get fit, but then how many people actually do it?
Yes. Yes.
And so would being told that you have a protein pattern that indicates you're going to get breast cancer 7 years in the future
make a difference?
Make a difference or not?
Wow.
I don't know.
You're right. Well, it took us all a while to believe that the sun caused skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going from spraying the oil all over us and laying out for, you know, hours on end to now being serious about it and using sunscreen and taking care of our skin. It took a while.
Well, at the same time, though, when the sun is out, I walk down Lake Street and I see all these teenagers laying out in the sunshine in their bathing suits, just getting as toasty as they possibly can.
It's, most likely not using sunscreen.
Yeah, same thing that I did and you did when we were kids.
Yes.
So once more, yes, you know, we as a science group, we know what does it. But young and dumb is pretty much a redundancy. And
I won't worry about that till I get old.
Yeah, you can't fix youthful stupid.
No, and it happens fast.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Mm. So anyway, so yes, okay. there is something interesting afoot. I'm just not sure how truly useful it's going to be.
Okay.
So.
All right.
We'll see.
Very good predictor. Well, are you ready for some phone calls, Dr. Mixon?
Sure. Let's take a few phone calls.
Let's jump into our very first phone call. And if now is the time to get through and get in, we have room for you. Phone lines are wide open, 206-421-5757. We have Bill on the line. Hi there, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Howdy, Bill.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for this wonderful program.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank
How can we help?
I have a couple of questions for you. I'm on, I have AFib and I have Parkinson's, and I'm on warfarin and carbidopa lapidopa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5 milligrams or 20 milligrams of carbidopa lapidopa and 5 milligrams of warfarin. And okay. I've taken myself off of the carbidopa lapidopa because I feel better without taking it. I sleep better and I don't have any bad dreams.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what are the side effects of carbidopa lapidopa, and what are the positive effects of it?
Well, levodopa is a dopamine stimulator. It basically, Parkinson's disease is where you lose the receptors in your brain for dopamine. And so levodopa replaces the dopamine. Carbidopa turns into levodopa in your body. It makes it longer lasting because the levodopa itself clears very quickly. So carbidopa, your body then changes to produce levodopa. So that's just a long-acting form. The idea is to raise enough dopamine in your brain to overcome some of the deficiency of receptors that are kind of fading away in Parkinson's. How severe is your disease? What is it you can and cannot do at this point?
Basically, I do everything. I just have a little bit of a hand tremor.
All right.
It makes it difficult sometimes to feed myself.
All right. Well, I'm hearing something a little contradictory. A little bit of a hand tremor, but it makes it hard to feed yourself. Mm-hmm. Makes me sound like it's a whole lot more than a little bit.
The fork just, you know, moves around a lot.
All right.
Those silly forks.
Yeah.
All right.
Damn forks.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. By replacing the levodopa in your brain, the dopamine in your brain at kicking in higher doses, the theory was that we will give you a longer, more enjoyable life, that you'll be able to do more. Your walking gait would improve, your tremors would decrease, etc. And that does happen to some extent. That's the good news. That's why this has been used for probably 50 years or more. The concern is that by hyperstimulating what receptors you have left, we may actually speed up the loss of receptors. It turns out that when a receptor doesn't have its trigger available, it becomes more sensitive. It responds to lower doses of whatever it is supposed to be receiving. So if you take away your dopamine, the dopamine receptors, in theory, should get more sensitive. And what we're finding is that in people that are taking relatively high doses of these compounds, we're hyperstimulating those receptors, forcing them to work, and we may be actually wearing them out sooner.
Mm.
So I guess the question is, you know, how much is enough and how much do you need? And where's the trade-off between the disability from the tremors and the gait issues versus the adverse effects of speeding up the decline of the disease? That's a balance that I'm not quite sure I have a firm answer for. That's, you know, that's one that you're going to have to play with as each individual.
No, I took the in-body test, and there was a part on that in-body test. I haven't had a meeting with a doctor yet. That's next week.
Uh-huh.
Oh, very
there
good.
There was the ECW-TBW water analysis, and I was wondering what that was, and could that at all affect the use of the medicines I've taken because of the water content?
Okay. Well, we've got to take a little break. You hear the music, but when we come back, yeah, we'll chat about that.
Yes.
Very
so
good. Thank
chat
you.
Chat with you in just a minute.
Stay right there, Bill. And if you'd like to get through with your questions for Dr. Mixon, here's that number, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
And we're back on the air again. On the air again. Yes, it's Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. My name is Lynette. Dr. Umat has the weekend off. Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio.
I'm here.
And we're talking with Bill.
That's right.
I had a question about the ECW/TBW analysis on the in-body test that I took last week. And I was looking at the body composition, the history of it. Mm-hmm. And for the people in the audience, they probably can't see this bar score that I'm looking at. But it's about an inch and a half long, and it's an arrow down, and then there's a line an inch long that's a negative, and then there's a three-inch long line with an arrow up, and I'm heavy into the upside.
Okay. Well, I don't have a copy of that report in front of me, but generally you have two things. The water are intracellular and extracellular waters, and those tell us a fair bit about how much systemic inflammation you've got. So, you know, are you holding your water within the cells, or are the cells partly dehydrated and you got more water outside? The other thing that you've got down at the bottom are the longitudinal reports. It follows your weight and it follows your muscle mass. And so you can see if your arms, and legs and torso are getting more or less muscle over time and more or less fat over time. And obviously we like the trends to show that body fat is declining, muscle mass is increasing, and for most people that weight is decreasing. Because let's face it, the vast majority of people over 50 or 60 are overweight. So we're trying to get their weight down and their muscle mass up. And then, obviously, the water shifts are important over time, too, because that tells us a fair bit about inflammation. Does that answer your question?
So if you have a high score with an arrow up, would that be an indication of some type of infection?
Or of inflammation of some sort, not necessarily infection.
Inflammation, okay. And would it have an effect on the effect of the medication that I'm taking, because it's all water sensitive?
Water sensitive or water soluble? What medicines are you talking about?
The Lapidopa, Carbidopa, and the warfarin, because they recommend lots of copious amounts of water when taking
Yes. And it's not that the medicine is water sensitive. It's that these, if you couple the levodopa, carbidopa with dehydration, it's tough on your kidneys. So they want to make sure you stay well hydrated. So you have to drink plenty of water to avoid kidney damage.
That's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Enjoy your program, and I'll look forward to the other guests.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your call, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Bill. Here is that number to get in the call queue with your questions about a diagnosis for you, maybe a loved one, or maybe you've been dealing with something, have a surgery coming up, or like Bill called, some symptoms from medications. Let's talk with the doctor. And of course, aging, his specialty, what those things that are happening to us while we're aging, what can we do to make that transition better? We're not going to age gracefully, right? But we can age with much more energy.
I've never known anybody that aged gracefully.
Yes.
You know, aging is the progressive loss of our graces. Mm-hmm. We get slower, clumsier, dumber. instead of running down the road with a big grin on our face, we start shuffling down the road.
Yes. And
whimpering at the joint pains.
At longevity, we specialize in that and what you can do about it to become what?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and of course, happier.
Yes, that's what this show is all about. If you've got questions, we want to hear from you. 206-421-5757. All right, we're going to Seattle, and we have Annie on the line. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, first of all, I'd like to thank you for this program that you've been providing for such a long time. I've been listening since you started.
Oh, you know what, Annie? Your voice is very soft. We can barely hear you.
Yeah. Make sure that you're right close to the microphone on the phone, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes, that is a bit better.
A little bit better. Okay. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for the program that you've been providing. I've listened since the beginning, and it's really provided me with a wealth of information, and I just appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've been doing this for 26 years.
Thank you, and I've been listening. My question today, first of all, is regarding the colonoscopy that my husband had.
Mm-hmm.
His BBPS4 was 9. I was wondering if that was good. But also he has to come back because they couldn't get to the lower section because of discomfort. And, you know, it was he didn't want to go around, I guess, whatever, if there's an instruction around.
Okay. All right, you're pretty darn faint. But
we can barely hear you.
Let me make sure I'm hearing this properly.
Yes.
We're talking about your husband's colonoscopy?
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? We don't want to miss any of what you're having to say. Could you by chance hang up and call right back? We're expecting you. We're thinking that you might get a better phone line if you can call right
back.
Give
it a try, just because I want to make sure everybody can hear your call, including that I don't make a mistake because I'm missing something, all right?
Yes. Call us right back, Annie, and we will get you right back on, all right? Okay. As she is calling back, let me give you the phone number, which is 206-421-5757. Before we take our break, should we take this opportunity to talk about longevity?
Let's do it.
Yes. We have three clinics for you in Kirkland, one in Tacoma and in Linwood as well. The clinics have been, boy, how many patients over the years have you seen?
Oh,
do you even
thousands,
know?
Thousands.
Many thousands who have said,
at any given time, we've got about 1,300 patients in the clinics.
These are patients that have said, you know what? I don't want to get slower, sexless, and just feel horrible as I'm aging. I want to get better.
Yes. And that's their whole point, is that the aging is no fun. And it is the progressive loss of our grace, our energy, our strength, our endurance. And at some point, you stop living and just start existing. Because the joys that you knew in your youth have kind of faded away. Now, there are compensations to some extent. You know, you get kids and grandkids and so on. But you can have the kids and the grandkids and still have the enthusiasm and the energy to get out and go do fun
stuff.
Other
things, too, yes.
And so, you know, I love the idea of being able to run and jump and leap and cavort and dance into the night and generally enjoy myself, even though I am now in my later 70s. I'm turning 77 in August, so a few months from now. but that's because for the last, golly gee, what would it be, 27 years or so, I've had the hormone balance of a 25-year-old. Which gives me a real metabolic advantage. If I exercise, I make muscle like a younger man. If I eat sensibly, I lose fat like a younger man. When I get hurt, I generally heal much like a younger man. And I do get hurt because I'm prone to be both active and a bit foolish. So
you often, like adventure. You like
I
adrenaline.
Do.
Yes.
I do. I'm an adrenaline junkie. And my wife is always trying to protect me. And
yes, no more jumping out of helicopters and glacier skiing.
That's right.
Got to tame you down a little bit.
Yep. Well, and, you know, she's going to be in China for a month this year. She's taking our daughter for a month of fencing every day with a special coach in Chengdu. And so I'm going to be at loose ends without my family for a month.
Okay, you're going to have to plan some adventures.
Well, I keep looking for things to do, and every time I suggest what I want to go do, she says, please don't do that.
But you're feeling like you can. You're so yes. active, and it's because you practice what you preach.
Well, yeah, because I'm a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yes, you are.
And, you know, I think that everybody should be doing the things the doctors at Longevity have our patients do, because it does make you stronger and faster and leaner and smarter and sexier and happier.
Absolutely. This is true. We want you to come in, get that free health analysis appointment, see the facility, meet the doctors and our wonderful staff. We would love to have you become a longevity patient so that we can have some success stories from you as well as our other patients. We love hearing from you. Here is that number to schedule that appointment. You can do that while we take a quick break. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, lmclinic.com. We'll be back with Annie in just a moment. And Chuck, we got you coming up. And Glenn, your phone calls too. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to talk to Chuck about testosterone. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, waiting for Annie to call us back. Annie, we want you to have a nice, strong phone line, so give us a call back, 206-421-5757, while we're waiting for that call. Let's head to Burien. We have Chuck on the line. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello, hello.
How can I help?
I caught the show last week.
Oh, awesome.
I'm sure you can. And the doctor was talking to a caller about being obese and trying to increase his testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 78 years old.
Okay.
I play ping pong 3 days a week, 3 hours a day.
Okay.
Very active. But my only concerns are I'm getting a lot tired, more tired than I used to, of course.
Uh-huh.
And when I work in the garden, in the yard, and doing stuff like that, is there a way to increase testosterone levels? Where you had prescribed, you said you would prescribe this caller a whole lot of testosterone.
Right.
And I'm just curious about that.
Let me clarify. This was a fellow who called in with congestive heart failure and pulmonary edema.
Right.
Morbidly obese, diabetic. All right.
And he was 80
years
old.
Yeah. And, you know, that is a scary story, because if you're hospitalized with pulmonary edema from congestive heart failure, your survival for 1 year is about 50%. And so, this was a fella that is from, based on what he was saying, sounds like his doctors are pretty much ignoring his concerns. And I'm saying, my goodness, you got a life-threatening problem here. Somebody needs to jump on this hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
And diabetics tend to have low testosterone. And being people that are overweight have lower testosterone. Because fat contains an enzyme called aromatase that turns a man's testosterone into estrogen. See, testosterone and estrogen are only one hydroxyl group difference as a molecule. So you can hydroxylate testosterone into estrogen very easily. And so you get older men with big bellies and man boobs hanging down. You know, and they are losing their muscle mass. Their bones start thinning out. They get mood swings, anxiety, depression. You know, so These are common issues. And so what we tend to do is to measure not just testosterone, but testosterone is one of eight hormones we measure in everybody. And we measure all eight of these hormones, and our goal is to move as many of them as we can back to a more youthful range. Okay? I want people to sleep better at night, so I want their pregnenolone alone and progesterone levels to be elevated. I raise progesterone because it helps keep the prostate gland from shrinking and it makes their skin prettier and so on. I use pregnenolone alone because it's an anti-stress, anti-anxiety hormone. We use testosterone because it provides drive, ambition, self-confidence. It also makes thicker bones and stronger muscles. And in a man with congestive heart failure, since the heart is primarily a big muscle that fills with blood and it contracts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's contracting. That's what that pumping is. People with low testosterone have a much higher incidence of congestive heart failure. That's part of why women get congestive heart failure far more often than men do, because even an old man has more testosterone than a young woman. And so when women start off with much lower levels, as they get old, their levels drop off too, and they go into congestive failure a lot easier because all of their muscles are getting weak, including the heart. So, okay, so yes, we can move all of those hormones back into a more youthful level. We don't, when we do our blood tests, we don't use what are called age-normed values. And since you're talking about testosterone specifically, let me kind of give you an illustration. An athletic 18-year-old boy will have a total testosterone in the range of 1,000 to 1,200 nanograms per deciliter. A 65-year-old man will usually have one in the range of 200 to 250 nanograms per deciliter. There's a big difference. There's a 1,000-point difference between the young man and the old man, all right? I tend to raise my older men not to an 18-year-old level because, let's face it, when you're 18 years old, the only thing on your mind was sex.
And you had acne. Yeah.
And I'd like you to be able to concentrate on ping pong once in a while, okay? So... I don't mind if I kick your libido up a bit, but there's a reasonable point. So instead of 1,000, I'm shooting for about 800. Okay. But 800 is a whole lot better than 200. So
Is there a non-prescription way to achieve that?
No. Absolutely not. You'll see a lot of internet garbage about this will raise your testosterone, yada, yada. And there are some supplements that will raise your testosterone. And in the literature, when we actually do the measurements, they tend to raise testosterone an average of about 12%. Okay. So let's say you're a guy that's got a perfectly normal elderly man range of 200 and I raise it 12%. You're now 224.
Right.
You're a long way from the 800 or so I want you to be. So no, it's the requirement. And I don't approve of just raising testosterone. The reason we measure eight hormones is because these are the primary eight hormones that if impact different functions in our body. And I just raise one thing and leave the other seven on the floor, you're going to be well out of balance because all of these things work together and have feedback loops to each other. So we try to move them all up together as a unit so that you have I want you to have your body to have the tools that it had to work with when you were in your mid twenties. If I can give your body back the tools that it had to work with and I can put that together with a good diet, reasonable exercise and supplements that have science behind them instead of wishful thinking, we can accomplish a lot.
Yeah, I would be happy with 35, 40-year-old body.
Well, I can't make your body back to 35 or 40, okay? I mean, I'm 76, and I do not have the physique of a 25-year-old.
I would disagree. I mean, but okay. So how about Dr. Mixon? When you were 25, aren't you in better shape now? Although you were in the military.
Yeah.
So.
No. In my 20s, remember, I was a combat paratrooper with the 173rd Airborne. I was lean, muscular. You know, I could hump a 70-pound pack up and down jungle mountains.
Wow. Okay. With no problem.
Yeah. But at 50. Well, you've seen a picture of me at 50. I was fat, and I spent my time sitting in chairs, and I was on the internet, and I told myself, well, I'm exploring the World Wide Web. What I was really doing was sitting my fat ass in a chair and being sedentary. That's about the age at which I started my therapy. Mm-hmm. And now at 76, I get up every morning, I shave, I drop down on the floor and knock out 60 or 65 push-ups. Normal for my age is 8.
Wow.
I do 60 to 65.
Yes,
then I
do
50 squats. Then I do 40 or 50 sit-ups. Then I go out and do 3 miles on the trail. Then I go to work.
And that's just the morning routine.
Yes.
We'll talk about his afternoon routine when we get back.
We got to take a break, but we'll be right back in a minute.
Yep. You stay there, Chuck. We want to continue talking with you. And Glenn will be back talking with you as well. And Annie, please call back. Here's the number to get through today on the show for Leading Edge Medicine. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. 5757. We'll be right back.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time.
And scuba diving?
Oh, yeah. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and your phone calls. We're talking to Chuck about testosterone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chuck, there's a lot of people out there that are passing around testosterone like candy, but the reality is everything in medicine has a proper balance. And, you know, so with our patients, we do a thorough evaluation, and our goal is to recreate the physiologic milieu of a younger person. And then if they will put their lifestyle in accord with that, we can accomplish a lot. You know, and we have, you know, men who come in the clinic and say, well, I want to do what Dr. Mixon's doing. And Dr. Umat usually warns them and says, yeah, but you got to realize he's had a 25-year-old's hormone balance for the last 27 years.
Yes.
And so it's given me an advantage. I've been able to do things, you know, that the average guy who comes in for a year or two, he'll make progress. He'll move in my direction, but he's not likely to, you know, to match what I've accomplished in 27 years in one or two.
Yeah.
So, but nevertheless, it never hurts to try. I mean, you know, come on. I want all the competition I can get. Come on in, become a patient, and, you know, see how hot we can make you.
There you go.
It's okay with me.
There you go. We might have to do a longevity ultra.
That's right.
There you go. That would be it. Include ping pong in on that, not men.
All right.
Oh,
all right. Well,
yeah.
You know, my wife is the ping pong player in the family. She's Chinese, and she's been a ping pong player for many, many years. In fact, one of her first job when she left China was on a Indonesian gambling ship.
Yep.
And so, yeah, and they started in Japan and then to South Korea and then Shanghai, Hong Kong, down through Indonesia and Jakarta, and all the way down to Singapore, and then back up to Japan. So for 3 years, she went round and round Asia on a gambling ship. And in the early mornings, she was teaching ping pong classes. And then in the mid-evening, she danced in the reviews, and then she worked casinos in the late night.
Wow.
And so, she was very busy.
Well, that's right. Well, you know, no rest for the wicked, and the righteous don't need any. So it works out.
There you go. I got to remember that one. I'll use it.
All right.
Mm. Well, hey, Doc, thank you so much. I'm 5'6¾" and shrinking, and 176 pounds.
So you're lean.
I'm very active with ping pong.
Yep.
And I try to stay healthy, and I know I eat healthy, but I'm just wondering about that. You know, I understand what you're saying about the imbalance or balance of nature, but I was just wondering about the testosterone level, because
Well, the testosterone we use is a cream. We have a custom compounded cream made by the pharmacist just for you, and you apply it in the morning. And within about 2 hours, you will absorb enough. You'll peak your testosterone level for the day, and it will then continue to trickle into your skin all day long. And then in the evening, we have you wash it off. So if you're sharing a bed with a lovely lady, we don't want to kick her testosterone load that high. So we wash it off before bed, and we wash it off before you have intercourse. But okay. So it's simple. It takes about 1 minute to apply your testosterone each morning, and you're going to shower in the evening before you snuggle down with your lady anyway. So not a big deal.
No, it doesn't sound like a big deal at all.
Okay, well, you take care, sir, and call us if you need us.
Sure will.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right. What a great call. Okay, we are going to head to Tenino, and Glenn has a question for the doctor. Hi there, Glenn. Welcome.
Hey, Glenn.
Good morning. Actually, a couple of questions.
Sure.
The first one is about herpes. I've been watching a lot of these videos on the internet. I'm thinking about getting back into the dating scene.
Okay.
And they say one in four or one in six young women have herpes nowadays.
It's very common.
Do you agree?
Same number of young men, though.
That's
where the ladies.
The men.
Yeah, but the ladies get it from the men, and the men get it from the ladies. It's
true.
It bounces back and forth. Yeah, herpes simplex is a very common virus. There are two very common forms of it. We call it herpes 1 and 2. Herpes 1 traditionally has been an oral virus. We see it on the lips. That causes the canker sores. Mm. So anybody who's ever had a canker sore, a so-called fever blister, has carried herpes 1. Okay. Herpes 2 tends to be genital. So it tends to be on penis, scrotum, and vagina. And once more, it makes these little raw, itchy, sometimes burny lesions, just like the herpes 1 on the lip does. You can suppress it with drugs like acyclovir, famciclovir, valcyclovir, any of the antiviral medications.
But will you always have it? You're just dealing with the...
You know, it's kind of interesting. Study done, I don't know how many years ago now. They took women in a normal primary care practice, and they did blood tests when they were running their standard blood tests. Anyway, they ran herpes antibodies. And it turns out that about 42% of the women in that clinic, if you measured their viral load or their viral antibody, had an antibody to herpes, saying that at some point in their life they had been infected.
Mm.
But when you went back to those ladies and took a history of anything that sounded like it might have been a herpes infection, any rash, burning, irritation, etc., that they would recognize, only about 12% had ever had any symptoms that you could correlate with herpes. And in most of those, the symptoms only lasted a while and disappeared.
Okay.
So it turns out that for most people, while many of us are probably exposed to the virus at one time or another in our lifetime, our immune systems are able to suppress the virus.
Okay.
And it goes away. Yes, we were infected, but it never became clinical and will probably never become clinical. Now, in those people that have recurrent herpes outbreaks, the average is about one a month. So people, men and women who have an immune system that does not tackle herpes very well, mm-hmm. it'll flare up. Anytime they're under stress or sunburned or anxious or any concomitant infections or trauma, they get a herpes outbreak. If you put them on something like valacyclovir or famciclovir every day, within about a month of treatment, they will decrease their outbreaks to about one every 3 months. And if you'll keep them on it, in 6 months, you'll get it down to about one a year.
Wow.
And so if you give them the medication long enough, and this sometimes takes a year or more, they'll sometimes turn seronegative. You won't even find evidence for it on their blood test anymore. And they apparently have abolished the virus in their system.
Wow.
So it's often considered a chronic disease, but if you'll take the medicine, you'll take it faithfully for a year or more, you may be able to totally get rid of it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Second question.
Yes. Glenn, you hold that second question. We're going to take our little break here at the top of the hour.
The music says we got a break, so we got to go away, but we'll be back and chat with you some more.
So Glenn, we'll continue talking with you. Marie, we have your call coming up as well and room for you. Here's the phone number to get through and into the call queue. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.